Hello today. Welcome to the greatest year in music history, the only podcast about the greatest year in music history. I'm John.
And I'm Jen. And just in case you missed our first episode, which I highly recommend you go listen to, spoiler alert, the greatest year in music history is...
Wait, what was it?
1997.
Oh, right. 97. Okay. I might have taken the wrong notes, but it's fine. No, we'll keep going. Okay. It's fine.
Just a reminder, this is all based on peer-reviewed empirical scientific data.
Right. Like we didn't actually choose the year. You know, some might say it chose us. I don't know. But we're really just here to like state objective scientific opinion.
Right. So, yeah, you get to hear us gush about albums that came out 27 years ago, which brings us to today's album, which is The Color and the Shape by Foo Fighters.
The Fighters of Foo. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, let's get into, like, what's your history with Foo Fighters? Like, where'd you first hear them? Was it this album, before or after? How did it go for you?
Yeah, so it was before The Color and the Shape. I don't remember the very first time, but I'm pretty sure it was like universal knowledge that Dave Grohl was from Nirvana and everybody knew Nirvana. And I'd seen the video, the Mentos for Big Me.
Sure,
and,
of course.
A couple other songs from the first album. But my intro to this album was Monkey Wrench.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much same, you know, grew up a Nirvana kid, as one does. And when that whole thing transpired, and Dave comes out with this solo album, I remember these kind of weird videos and then, yeah, the Mentos or Futos, I think it is actually in the video. It says Futos. We're not sponsored by Mentos yet, but throw us some Mentos our way, the fresh maker. but yeah, and then that was it for me. I was all in on Foo Fighting. And then this album came out and it was just, I mean, you couldn't escape it. It was everywhere. It was just colossal.
Yeah.
From, I guess, day one. I mean,
yeah, I know. Well, I was going to share this story later, but I'll share it right now. I was on YouTube yesterday and the algorithm.
Shout out to YouTube.
Sponsor us. Sent the algorithm, served me a video of Dave Grohl in an interview being asked about, Radiohead and OK Computer in particular. Shout out to episode one, if I highly recommend.
Remember to subscribe and get that episode.
Yes, and the way Dave Grohl talks about how OK Computer was revolutionary, which I don't know if we said that in episode one, but that's how I feel about OK Computer and The Color and the Shape and probably every album we're going to talk about in this entire podcast. It was right. Like, it felt brand new. It felt like a new time it came out.
Yeah, it's kind of rare that, like, you'll have something that feels immediately iconic.
Right.
You know? Monkey Wrench, all the singles, you know, Monkey Wrench, Everlong, My Hero.
Mm-hmm.
It was just... 12-year-old me just like I didn't really know what was hitting me,
right.
I guess at the time.
Yeah. So
as I go, let's see, I guess another, the one question we want to answer, you know, in every episode is, does it still rule? Unequivocally, yes.
Right.
It's kind of objectively just really, really good.
What if we were like,
yeah, hey. Hopefully this pod will get into huge colossal arguments like that. That's the goal.
Yeah. No, I agree. It after listening to it a few times over the past few days, it definitely still rules. 100%.
So this album, like, is it one you revisit a lot? Because I love it, and to be quite honest, I haven't really listened to it a lot, all the way through, front to back.
Yeah, well, oh, same. I listen to the hits a lot from this album and their other albums, but no, I haven't revisited the whole thing.
Yeah.
But until recently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has a really interesting ebb and flow, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have these big anthemic songs, you know, like we said, Monkey Wrench, My Hero. But then it starts out with this little kind of interesting lullaby, question mark. and it really is an intro track. I think it's not even 2 minutes long or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was noticing the same thing, and I have a theory. I think Dave Grohl loves to show off his and the band's full range all the time, and he takes rock and roll to the nth degree. Like, he's married to the rock and the roll, so he wants to, like, rev us up. Mm-hmm. And then, like, come down. And then my other theory is that he loves surprising, throwing in, like, little hardcore pieces within the track that are, like, so heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listening to it this time, that was the most fun little surprises, is how heavy it can get here and there. And yeah, I mean, I also had this theory, sort of riffing off that I just wonder, does he like commercial jingles? Like, we talk about Big Me. It's the video is a fake commercial. But they have these other little parts in the songs that almost sound like a commercial little jingle.
Yeah.
And then we'll kick it up and, or, like, double time that into something heavier, or, yeah, big, huge drum filled chorus or whatever, you know?
Right.
So it's this little juxtaposition that, like, I don't really think they did any more of that after maybe some of a little bit on the next album. But probably nothing really else after that. I think that's when they coined the phrase dad rock, and I kind of checked out on Foo Fighters.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. I loved picking up on that.
Oh yeah, me too.
Almost every track, mm-hmm. there was, like, either a surprise or a extreme where it goes from super melodic to almost the heaviest thing from 97.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, the track after Monkey Wrench, Hey Johnny Park, or Hey Johnny Park, 'cause there's a comma right. and an exclamation point. It has this really cool, like, kind of earworm guitar riff that you really get stuck in your head. So it's this nice compliment to Monkey Wrench being so fast. So he kind of brings down the tempo a little bit, and then boom, you get surprised and it gets revved mm-hmm. way back up with these giant choruses and his kind of signature drum sound. That's very, John Bonham inspired, you know, from Led Zeppelin. And Dave's talked about that in interviews and stuff, of all those influences. And it's like, I didn't really think about it at the time that the guy from Nirvana and Foo Fighters has a signature drum sound, but he does.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really does.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you say is your favorite song or lyric or guitar part from the whole album?
I mean, the guitar part that sticks out is finally figuring out or being fast enough to play Everlong. Because there's the intro, it's a very nice little thing, and that's not really that hard to play. But there's these really cool stuff in the verse he does, and then these, I don't really know the technical term, But the guitar work he's doing, like in the pre-chorus, as he's also simultaneously sounding like a drum machine because he's that good, and mm-hmm. why he re-recorded that other dude's parts. Shout out to that other dude. I hope he's okay. But I think the favorite song this time around, I don't know if I'm, well, it's 100% recency bias, was this bonus track I didn't even know existed. The titular bonus track, if you will, called The Color and the Shape. Didn't know it existed. Apparently it was a B-side to one of the singles, and it was then later when iTunes came out, it was an iTunes bonus track or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's this like metal thrash song, and it sounds, what's funny to me when I was listening to it this time, for the first time, I should say, it reminded me a lot of, like, the guitar sound really reminds me a lot of what Kurt was doing on Nirvana's Bleach album, which Dave wasn't even on, mm-hmm. but just the incredible amount of fuzz, and Dave is screaming and the drums are going crazy.
Yes.
And I was like, immediate repeat.
Yeah.
A few times, definitely a few times in a row.
Lots of screaming, grungy, punky. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah. What about you? What's your favorite aspect hearing it this time around?
Yeah. Monkey Wrench will always be my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Your hero?
My hero is Monkey Wrench.
Okay, okay. That's weird because my wrench is here.
Okay. no, because I love the song. And it's not because it was like the first song I heard. It was it's my favorite song because I am so proud of myself for knowing every word to the bridge where he's just screaming mm-hmm, without mm-hmm. breathing. And it's just the best. I love to also scream along.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that.
Yes.
So this time around, what are your thoughts? Is it a perfect album? Is it a no skip album in your opinion?
Yeah, I didn't skip anything. There's a couple songs that are a little too long, and okay. it's only the last couple songs, but I still didn't skip. Like, I just love every track.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you?
Well.
Oh.
Here's the thing.
Wow. Hey, Dave. Can you?
Yeah. Shout out to Dave. Yeah. Walking After You. It's 5 whole minutes, and like I just want to rock.
I know.
Now the listeners couldn't see this because we weren't recording, and this isn't a video podcast. But the other day, I casually mentioned to Jen, did you know they did a second version of Walking After You for the X-Files soundtrack?
I lost my mind.
I think you did a dead drop. Is that what that's called?
Yeah. The X-Files is one of my favorite shows, also movies. Sure. And I completely forgot that song is in the first X-Files movie. And so he just mentioned it to me trying to say that it was a shorter version. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he says for the X-Files movie. And I walked out.
I think you're, yeah.
And
yeah.
You had to walk after it.
I was walking after you when I said it. And then I caught you. Right. That was kind of what happened.
Insane.
Yeah. But yeah, that song, it doesn't help me in any way. I rock. Just kind of like, yeah, it doesn't help me rock. Doesn't help me roll.
Yeah.
Or is it growl? So other than that, it's pretty near perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I love the, I especially love the other song that has this jingle aspect. I don't remember if it's, I think it's called See You.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
It's kind of like this little interlude, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it has, yeah, something about like me listening to that with these other huge songs, and then this little commercial jingle comes on, and I'm just like Dave, you old so-and-so. Like, that's so fun to me. I don't know why, but it is.
And then,
back then and now. Back then, I don't think I really knew what was happening at age 12.
Yeah.
But now, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, I get the joke. I'm in on the bit now, I think.
Yeah. And it proves my theory again, because the very next song is Enough Space.
Oh, my God.
Which is a straight banger. It rocks so hard. I think quite possibly the heaviest in air quote. I'm doing air quotes. Mm-hmm, listen. Mm-hmm. The heaviest on the album. Maybe?
Yeah, I think so too. There's also a really, really good. Well, every Foo Fighters song has good bass riffs. But that one especially, those really stuck out to me. He's doing a lot of cool bass work there, and it stands out even amongst this like fast, heavy song, which is kind of rare. Usually, bass sits in the back.
Yeah.
When you're going super fast and super heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say that, like, I love the singing, obviously, the melody and the screaming, and I love the guitar, but I just love how loud the drums are.
Hell
which,
yeah.
Of course, they are, because it's Dave and Taylor, but...
Well, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, Taylor, not yet.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah. There was another dude.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still with us? I'm not. Bless his heart. And for whatever reason, Dave went and redid all the drums himself. But I think that predated Taylor, which, I mean, poor one out. Just that was a. That was a. I remember where. We were when it happened.
Yeah.
Kind of a hit. Mm-hmm. Which Jen's getting emotional.
Don't.
We have a box of tissues right here, actually.
Don't
for this
do
very
it.
Reason. But yeah, Taylor was all over like the videos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a little vague on that timeline.
Speaking of music videos, let's talk about those. Where were you the first time you saw the Everlong music video?
Oh my God. I mean, again, 12-year-old me. Just losing my mind.
Slap me with the giant hand.
It's a big hand. It's an even bigger telephone.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. I mean, it's Michelle Gondry, who's done tons and tons and tons of music videos for Bjork and Daft Punk, this.
Oh.
And then went on to do our beloved Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yes, and he's French.
What? You know what I was thinking while I was rewatching it? Everything, Everywhere, All the Time, or whatever it's called, could never.
That's true.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's another podcast.
Yeah, that's a
where
different pod.
We talk about the three or four movies that I can't stand.
Which is really rare. Because most things you're like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we don't like something, you really, really don't like it. And I really, really like... when you really, really don't like something.
What about My Hero video?
That one doesn't stick out as much.
Yeah, I forgot how it went until
like
I rewatched
a hotel room?
I think it's like an apartment and there's a fire happening and someone's...
He needs a hero.
Yeah, rescuing like the baby and the dog and the... Yeah, yeah.
Does Dave play all roles?
What?
Does he play the baby and the dog? And
oh, no. No.
Because I noticed that, or when you know, I was reading up on this, yeah, Michelle Gondry did the Everlong video, but I think Dave directed My Hero and Monkey Wrench.
Oh.
So, quite the control freak. So he boots the drummer, re-records all those parts.
Gives him a blank check.
I want to do a video my way.
Listen.
Not the video for the song My Way. It was My Hero.
That
but
was
regardless,
Usher.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, listen, he can do whatever he wants, okay?
It's true. It's like you could say he's a control freak for doing that, and then you listen to the results or watch the results, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Right. This is
oh, he's also
genius.
Hilarious. Oh, and he's... Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I mean, the Everlong video, I mean, I love it for so many reasons. Just the weird... practical effects mixed with like early CG and then anything that pays homage to Evil Dead is always fun. Down to the cabin, and there's a trap door to the I don't know if it's a basement or a cellar or whatever, and the hand comes out, but it's not the... Oh, man, it's really... Yeah.
So good.
So good. So yes. Good.
What about the video for Monkey Wrench?
That's the red, yes. Red room.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. I like... There's not much to it, but yeah. I liked, like, the fisheye
I was going to say,
angle.
That's the fisheye one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It just rocks hard. You're it pulls you into the band, I feel like.
Like a fish.
Yeah.
The warped lens. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. So what do you think of where this sits with their other albums? Like, is this the best album? It's not the best of you, I'll say that much.
Whoa, you did it.
Thank you.
No, we did it, Joe. I struggle with this one because it's definitely up there.
Sure.
But they have so many hits across so many albums. At least I remember there was a phase where I was obsessed with Generator for like 8 months straight. And then another.
Some say you're a Generator.
Right. And then for another 8 months straight, like a year later, I was obsessed with Low. From One by One, like but with that being said, I don't know if it might be second best for me.
Wow.
I know. We should cancel the pod.
Wow.
Maybe we should.
Two episodes and we're done. That's fine. That's fine.
No, I think
second to what?
There's nothing left to lose.
Okay.
Might be my number one.
Yeah.
What about
I mean,
you?
For me, Color and Shape's one.
Yeah.
Just for me, unequivocally. I think it's like a depending on my mood, which one I like second best, self-titled or Nothing Left to Lose.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, I really started to fall off.
Right.
Like I remember All My Life was cool. I think that's off of One by One.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I don't know what was going on with me. Everything after that, I think that's where that dad rock term got coined. And I was like, I don't know. Like there's Pretenders and other songs I can't even remember where I'm just like, never really did anything for me.
Yeah, they're good, but just don't feel revolutionary like the Color and the Shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you consider Color and Shape overplayed in any way?
No.
Yeah,
actually.
Same.
As much as I've listened to the hits and the other one, it was never overplayed. I could listen to it a million times.
Yeah, same.
And it still hits. It's still good.
Yeah, I thought going in to listening to this a few times as prep that... Maybe the first time, definitely the second and third time, I'd probably skip through Monkey Wrench, My Hero, Everlong. Never skipped once. I had to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Skip Walking After You after the first time. I don't even know if I made it through the first re-listen because it's 5 minutes of the same thing.
I know.
I don't really need that. Now, we did get to see them live.
Yes. Finally.
Yes.
Yeah. So... Background, for years we would always miss them playing near us, which I blame on I think they're called C3, the promoter in Austin had some weird clause,
if they're still called that.
Yeah, who knows?
Who cares, really?
Yeah, but
shout out to Austin.
Yeah, and C3, don't cancel us.
Actually,
but...
only shout out to Emo's Red 7,
yes,
Austin Music Hall, La Zona Rosa for the real ones. Anyway, go on, sorry.
Yeah. We just kept missing them. They would play near us and we were like out of town that weekend or whatever. And then we moved to Colorado and this is embarrassing, but they were coming to like Grand Junction or something, which is a solid 5-hour drive away. Yeah. And we were like, no, let's not do that. But I was like, I'm going to get them to play Denver. That's it. And so I made this silly little sign and we climbed to the top of a 14er as a hike.
Right. We should say in Colorado, there's a 50 some odd mountains that are above 14,000 feet in elevation at the top and commonly referred to as 14ers.
Yes.
And you can hike up. You're not hiking up all 14,000 feet, to be clear. But anyway, a lot of times, you know, you get to the top and you take pictures and everything and people make silly signs or very matter-of-fact signs of like the exact elevation with like the date on it as like, I'm going to commemorate this accomplishment. But not Jen. Jen's sign was to try to get Foo Fighters to play our town.
Yeah, it said something like, hey, dear Foo Fighters, I just climbed 14,000 something something thousand feet just to scream from the mountaintops to come play Denver. And then I posted a photo of it on the internet and I was like, let's make this go viral. And it did not go anywhere near viral. And they never played Denver until 2018.
Right.
When we finally got to see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, unbelievable in so many ways. One, I never thought they would play for like close to 3 hours.
I know.
Because like, it was funny because between songs, Dave's just running around screaming, running to the side of the stage to smoke a cigarette indoors, which because he's a real one. and he kept screaming into the microphone like, we got a long night. Like, you better buckle up.
Yep.
And I was kind of like, oh, well, that's fun. I know they have these like noise ordinance. No, they didn't care. And then, I mean, the elephant in the room sort of a thing is like, we did get to see them with Taylor.
Yes.
And this was pre-COVID too. Yeah. So we were on the floor. We were like a few people back from the
front
guardrail. And even some people we know that were like, we got these really good box.
Right.
Do you want to come up here for free food or stay down there to be close to the stage? And we opted to be close.
Yeah. Because I'm a psycho. I got to be close.
No regrets, though.
No. It was such a good show. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know they're coming back.
It's
stadium style with a dude from the Vandals, which that's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go. Yeah, probably not. But yeah. Seeing him with Taylor in hindsight is such a special thing.
Yes.
Because it's just unbelievable.
I know.
You know? And it was really, I mean, it's interesting to me too that Dave is a signature drum sound. You know, he does everything on the first record. He does every guitar and drum and vocal, obviously, on the second record. And then Taylor has to tour that record.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk about, you got to fill in for the dude from Nirvana.
Oh, God.
Have fun. You were previously touring with Alanis Morissette.
Right.
Have
Which
fun.
I think Taylor also was like brought in for tour. I can't remember. For Alanis, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he just crushes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to come in recording on the third album and evolve into his own kind of signature sound, and it changes some of the trajectory. Well, not really trajectory, but like changes the sound a little bit because he made it his own,
mm-hmm.
distinct from Dave, you know.
Yeah.
And to do that for 7-8 more albums after that,
yeah,
20 some odd years later,
amazing,
is just unbelievable,
yeah. Yep. And I remember seeing interviews where now Dave is like, I could never be as good as Taylor. Like, I just can't touch him anymore. He's better than me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Does Dave know how good he is? I think he does.
Yeah, that's true.
He has to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? Final thoughts, you know? At the end of every episode, we're going to rate the album on a scale from 0 to 97, 97 being the best. For obvious reasons, based on science. But yeah, yeah. What do you think? I mean, color and the shape. Did we... Color and the shape?
British.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
French-Canadian version?
Yes.
Right.
It's got, for me, like 96 or even 97 out of 97. I think it's perfect.
Okay.
It's just so good.
Wow. I gave it a 94 out of 97.
Wow. Hold on. I'm calling the police.
Only because I skipped that one song.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't, I can't give a 97.
What about the X-Files shorter version?
it's 1 minute less boring.
How dare you?
Because it has a 1 minute under runtime. No, yeah. I mean, I think this, you know, for me, this record, it solidified, like, it's not just, oh, he's that dude that was in Nirvana that has a band. That's fun.
Right.
And the first album, the self-titled one, wasn't just a fluke. And I think everyone knew that back then. And then we're close to 30 years later and everyone now knows Dave is like this titan.
Yep.
That still never forgets where he came from. He'll still drum for people or do those like benefits, or it's him and Chris Novoselic.
Yes.
Doing Nirvana songs with different singers, that benefit thing they did.
Yep.
The one with St. Vincent on vocals was just knocked me out.
Yeah.
Would risk it all. Sorry, Jen's right here. Would risk it all for St. Vincent. So yeah, I mean, I think that probably
covers it.
About covers it.
Yeah.
For this week.
So
yeah, let's see. Next week, I think we're going to talk about the Prodigy, Fat of the Land.
Yes.
Or is it the Fat of the Land? Tune in to find out. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We haven't gotten the data back.
Oh,
on the
which
research.
By the way, if you listen to the first episode, there's a part where John brings up Celine Dion and he's like, yeah, you know that song you always sing? And I was like, oh, I can't remember. I went back and checked. It's literally called It's All Coming Back to Me.
Wow. That's true. It is called that. We'll start implementing like a corrections and omissions, if you will.
Fact checking, because yeah. Jen has the memory of a goldfish. It's true.
They have great memories, I think.
No.
Oh.
Terrible.
I forgot. Okay. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. You know, make sure to follow us on social. We're everywhere as at Greatest Music Pod. We're going to start to post more stuff on social, on YouTube, Instagram, everywhere.
Yeah. And leave a comment and let us know what you think about The Color and the Shape. And make sure you give us a rating too on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all the other places.
All right. That'll do it for this week. Thanks for listening. Bye.